News Talk 1620 WTAW this morning. The Texas A&M system held the ribbon cutting of its $70 million Center for Infrastructure Renewal on the Reynolds campus. Lots of lighter moments. Let's begin with comments from the chairman of the A&M System Board of Regents, Charles Swartz, in making reference to the system chancellor, John Sharp.
Our first modern era building was the joint library facility constructed in 2013. Recently, I was talking to John about that building, and I said, you know, John, I've actually never been in that joint library. And John said, well, I haven't been in that library either. And we talked a little bit more about it, and then as we talked more, I discovered that John wasn't really talking about that library. He was talking about a library.
That was followed by a response from System Chancellor John Sharp.
First of all, I want to tell you it's a damn lie that I've never been in the library. On the day that I graduated, my mom came to see that particular ceremony, and she wanted to see it, and I took her with some help to the library. And I want you to know my speech will be much shorter than some you've heard. I am a graduate of Texas A&M. As you know, Brother Swartz has one degree from the University of Texas, and the difference between a Texas speech and an Aggie speech is Aggie speeches are short and to the point. Longhorn speeches have point here, mostly bull in between. And so, anyway, chairman of the board and I are very close.
The lighter touch continued as the chancellor then introduced a member of the state senate, Paul Bettencourt from Houston.
And next, I'm honored to introduce the only Aggie in the state senate. We need to rectify that and add more from Harris County, Senator Paul Bettencourt. Paul was first elected to the legislature in 2014. Prior to that, he was a tax assessor collector in Harris County. Speaking from experience and the experience of Matthew, I can tell you that it is a heck of a lot better being a senator than a tax collector. So, Senator Bettencourt, let me tell you about him. Senator Bettencourt is a class of 80. He was the guy, after Banks brought this to me, he's the guy that we took this idea to, who took it to Lieutenant Governor Patrick. And so a warm round of applause for Senator Paul Bettencourt, one of us.
Well, howdy.
Howdy.
Well, as the only Aggie in the Senate, I at least was smart enough to know what the dress code today was supposed to be. But I was also smart enough when Dean Banks came in to my office that day with a fantastic idea. Now, so I was smart as an Aggie twice before, which was to keep it short, wear maroon, and listen to Dean Banks. And then the third question I've got for you is, what do you call an Aggie 5 years after graduation? Say it. Well, I knew who the boss of the Senate was. He wasn't an Aggie, but he should have been. And that's our great Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick, who listened to the idea and said it was a great idea, too.
Then came the Chancellor's introduction of Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
And now it's my pleasure to introduce the boss of the Texas Senate. And when I say boss, you know, I told him a while ago, I said, you know, I thought Bullock had a lot of respect in the Senate because he was able to get most things that he wanted passed through the Senate. Now, this is the first time I've seen a lieutenant governor who's able to get everything he wants passed through the Senate. The Senate has that kind of respect for him and following. He has never lost a battle in the Senate. If it is, he kept it out of the papers. But let me just say this right here. He built this building. This building would absolutely not be here if it weren't for Dan Patrick. I remember when I was on the Senate floor for something else, and he came up to me and he said, okay, we're going to do that $5 million project that y'all were talking about, or that project that y'all were talking about, and I reported it back to Banks. I would suspect most members of the legislature don't know that it was there because it was a rider in the appropriations bill. But let me just tell you, this building would not be here. There is a reason we wanted Dan Patrick to be here to cut the ribbon, because he built this building. It absolutely would not have happened without him. He was, as you know, he was worked in radio for many years before he became lieutenant governor, was a state senator. And I want to tell you a quick story. His campaign manager was from Victoria. And he met me. He said, I want to meet you in Victoria, back when he was running for the Senate. So we went to Bianchi's Pharmacy, delicatessen, which is the oldest delicatessen in the United States of America, continuously operating. Just thought I'd throw that in. But anyway, we came out and we were BSing with the county judge and a couple of commissioners, and we were right at the corner of Constitution and Maine. Those of you that might be from Victoria know where Bianchi's is. And a guy comes by that happened to be blind. His name was Elmo Kaliba, and he had this CNI dog named Zeke. Still lives there, I think. And they get to the corner, and the light changes, and the dog stops, and Elmo stops. And apparently Elmo had not taken Zeke to a fire hydrant or to a green space lately. And Zeke had a little pent-up demand, and he sort of wet on Mr. Kaliba's brand-new suit that he probably paid $400 for it, Melvin Globe Clovier. So we're sitting there watching that, and all of a sudden, Mr. Kaliba reaches in his pocket, pulls out a dog biscuit, and gives it to this dog. Across the street is the only member of PETA that ever lived in Victoria County. And she runs across and she starts kissing and hugging this guy. I said, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, Mr. Cleveland. Said, you love and depend on old Zeke so much that even though he wet on your leg and ruined your new suit, you gave him a dog biscuit. He finally pushed her away after she was hugging and kissing and said, ma'am, the reason I gave Zeke a dog biscuit after he wet on my leg and ruined my new suit was to find out where his head was so I could kick his ass. Now, to show you how quick Patrick is, so Patrick sees that. Didn't take 2 seconds. He turned to me and said, that is the lesson of the federal government. If you take money, a.k.a. dog biscuits, from the federal government, the same thing is going to happen to you. And it was the quickest response I've ever seen.
And here are some of the comments from Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
You know, you just come to these ribbon cuttings for the entertainment value. You know, I know the rivalry with Texas is strong, but when it's in the opening remarks from Charles about $300 million, it's pretty good. John did lean over to me and he said, you know, it's really not far from true. I haven't been in a library. The next question is, have you read a book? Would be the next question. Right? Besides the Cliff Notes to get by the exam. Howdy. A quick story, and we have to be very quick for everyone's time, but I'm here only because of an Aggie. I would not be in Texas if it were not for one of the Junction boys. Because before there was the other Dan Patrick, who came along after me, he's about 10 years younger than I am, I was a sportscaster in Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. And I was covering the Redskins when Jack Pardee, one of the Junction boys and a great Aggie, was the head coach back almost 30 years ago this year. It was either 79 or 78. And I had a job offer to go to Milwaukee as a sportscaster. I was working with Al Roker at the time. I never thought that guy had much talent. Did he ever make it in the business? Al's making $30 million a year. I make $600 a month as lieutenant governor. Al made the right choice. No, this is the greatest job in the world for $600 a month. But I had a chance to go to Milwaukee or come to Houston with CBS. And I went up to Coach. I said, Coach, and Jack was just the greatest guy. He had replaced George Allen. George Allen used to keep us out in the snow for 3 hours before doing an interview with us. He hated the media, but Jack loved the media. And he said, Dan, he said, because I didn't know much about Texas. I'd been here one time to cover a basketball tournament. I said, I have this job offer to go to Houston. What do you think, Jack? And he said, until you have been on the Texas A&M campus, it's a true story, until you've been there, until you have seen the rivalry between UT and A&M, until you see Friday Night Lights and football on Friday nights, you haven't lived if you're a sportscaster. He said, Dan, if I could get back to Texas, I would go back tomorrow. And I took the job largely because of his recommendation. So anything that I don't agree with, I just want you to know, Sharp, that it's an Aggie that got me here, all right? So, and then as God would have it, where did Jack end up? Coach of the Houston Gamblers, coach of the Houston Cougars, and coach of the Houston Oilers. And we had a long, long relationship. And so as I sat here this morning, listening to the remarks and thinking about this, you know, you never know what God has in store for you. And that little conversation, I could have easily been in Milwaukee. I'd already been there on a house hunting trip. I thought that's where I was going, and Jack talked me out of it. So it's an honor to be here. You know, the Chancellor's right. By the way, look, I know he said such nice things about me, and I'm not responsible for this building. We played a small part. It's very kind. I just know all that syrup that he poured on is because he's got another project in mind next session.
Again, comments from this morning's ribbon cutting that officially opened the A&M System Center for Infrastructure Renewal on the Ureles campus. This is News Talk 1620 WTAW.